This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Again, greetings and welcome to our lesson today. We're glad you've tuned us in, and we trust the program will bless you, cause you to think, and will encourage you if you are a Christian, and will draw you to the Savior if you've never trusted Him. Now, if you would like to contact me, you can do so either through my website or by regular mail, and you can get those addresses at the close of the program. And the website does have this program on it, so you can re-listen to it there as well as a weekly meditation that you might find helpful. Now, as you know, we are studying Old Testament prophecies that were fulfilled in the New Testament, and today we're going to come to the 29th one that we've looked at. And the whole idea is for us to know the Lord Jesus better so that we can understand the grace He has shown us better, so that we too can grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We've been looking at 2 Peter 3, verse 18. Peter says, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and forever." And I don't think we can grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord if we haven't received His grace. And we certainly need to know something about Him in order to be able to grow in our knowledge, our intimate knowledge of Him. Now, last time we were looking at the fact that the Messiah would be silent before His accusers. And we noted that He was silent before His accusers because a guilty person has nothing to say. He cannot defend himself. And while the Lord was not a guilty sinner, yet He stood in the place of guilty sinners. And so He was silent before His accusers as a guilty person should be. But now, today, we want to look at the way in which the Lord was hated. And this just strikes me, that the Lord would be hated in the way that He was. In Isaiah 50 and verse 6, we have a prophecy that says, "I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who plucked out the beard. I did not hide my face from shame and spitting." And then in a few moments, we're going to look at how the Messiah was hated without a cause. And of course, this spitting is associated with that hatred that comes on the part of mankind. Now, I realize I'm dealing with a very black part of human history. I'm dealing with a very difficult part of the human nature. And yet, what was happening then to the Lord happens today often to people who try to do right. If we don't get into gangs, if we don't have peer people who identify with us, if we are different, if we stand against evil, we are often ostracized, but not to this extent. Nobody has ever, as far as I remember, nobody has ever spat in my face. Now, don't misunderstand me. I've been in homes where a man did his best to roundhouse me and deck me, because he didn't like what I was telling him. He'd invited me in with a friend, but then didn't like what I was telling him, and he went to deck me, and if he had connected, it would have been bad. He did not connect. But nevertheless, he did not spit upon me. It seems that spitting upon a person is almost an act of derision and hatred like no other. It's humiliating to have somebody spit into your face. And that's exactly what they did to the Lord Jesus. In Matthew 26 and 65, we read, "Then the high priest tore his clothing, saying, 'He has spoken blasphemy. What further need do we have of witnesses?' The Lord had said He was going to tear down the temple and build it again in 3 days. He had acknowledged that He was the Son of God. Without saying anything, He had not defended the fact that people had said he thought that he had claimed to be the Son of God. And so they said, "What do you think?" And they answered and said, "He is deserving of death." Blasphemy meant that He took the place of God when He was not God, but of course He was God. Then they spat in His face and beat Him, and others struck Him with the palms of their hands, saying, "Prophesy to us, Christ, who is the one who struck you?" Well, now it appears to me that He was struck twice. Once when He was before the high priest, and once when He was before Pilate and about to be crucified. It looks to me like in one case it calls the one who spit in his face, if you read all the different accounts, an officer. And so that would have been an officer of the court probably, and maybe a Jew, but it might have been also a Roman officer that was given to the Jews to protect the court as well. And I'm not sure about that. But then we do have soldiers later on spitting in his face. And why would you spit in the face of one who had absolutely no guilt, including Pilate, who said he could find no fault in this man? Pilate had been warned by his wife not to have anything to do with the Lord Jesus. She says, "I have suffered many things in a dream because of him." And Pilate had washed his hands before the people and said, "I find no fault in this man." And they had said, "His blood be on us and on our children." In other words, they had said, "We will accept the guilt for what takes place here," not knowing that down through the years they were going to be rejected by the nations, they were going to be dispersed, they were going to be judged by God for that statement, "His blood, his guilt be on us and on our children." So they spat in his face, and it was just an act of derision, saying, "You think you're so good, you think you're the king of the Jews, but look, you can't in any way defend yourself, you have no way of saving yourself from what is about to happen. We're in power here. We're in charge here." And of course, a Roman soldier got pretty hardened if they were amongst the crew that constantly crucified. I don't see how anyone could do that over and over again as the Romans did. And yet there were people that were involved in that kind of activity. Cruel activity, the kind of activity that our Constitution is designed to save us from. And so they spat in his face and they hated him. And when we come to the next prophecy, we read from Psalm 35 and verse 19, "Let them not rejoice over me who are wrongfully my enemies, nor let them wink with the eye who hate me without a cause." That's Psalm 35 and verse 19. In Psalm 69 and verse 4, it says, "Those who hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of my head. They are mighty who would destroy me, being my enemies wrongfully. Though I have stolen nothing, I still must restore it." And so that was fulfilled in John 15, and John records that he who hates me hates my Father also. John 15 and verse 23, "He who hates me hates my Father also." The Lord is speaking. "If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin. But now they have seen and also hated both me and my Father. But this happened that the word might be fulfilled, which is written in their law, they hated me without a cause." So the society has never changed. They still take innocent people, people that they think that they can belittle, people who are different and in many cases much better than they, and they hate them without a cause, and they do their best to humiliate and destroy them. So in spitting in his face, they were humiliating him. They were showing that they did hate him, that they did despise him, that he had no control, that he had no power. And here was the one who could have called 12 legions of angels, and yet he was not willing to do that because his plan, his desire was to go to the cross of Calvary and fulfill a plan that God had prepared in an eternity past for those of us who are sinners, who are steeped in sin, who have this nature of sin built into us, who often are showing that same kind of hatred to others. He went to the cross to not only save us from the acts of sin, but from the consequences of sin, and to change our natures. And I worry today when people claim to be Christians and show this same kind of attitude toward other people, whether it be people that they didn't grow up with, people in other neighborhoods, people that are poor, people that are of a different skin color, people who are of another religion, and I believe that Christianity and serving Christ is the only true religion, but I don't believe in persecuting those who do not agree with me. I believe that's the Lord's responsibility to do that, and my responsibility is to be a good salesperson and to show them the love of God and to show them that I have something that they need and something that will satisfy and something that will save and that something that is better than any religious system the world can design. I have Christ. Sometimes the hymn writer, I'm reminded of the hymn writer who says, if I could only tell him as I know him, my Redeemer who has brightened all my way, if I could tell how precious is his presence, I am sure that you would make him yours today. And I wish I could do that. I'm dealing with the hatred of mankind in this section. I'm dealing with that being a fulfillment of prophecy. The Lord came into this scene, into this world, knowing that this is the way he would be treated, and yet he willingly went to the cross and submitted himself to the will of the Father, the will of God, the will of the Godhead, I should say, that was developed in an eternity past so that we could be saved. And friend, I wish you loved the Savior the way I love this Savior. He not only saves, but he becomes our friend, and we defend him because we know that no one else ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. So we look at the Lord Jesus, those of us who are saved, and to those of us who believe, he is precious, but to the unsaved world, they use his name in vain, and they're still spitting in his face, and many people say he never really even existed, and yet in their lives, they use his name as though he did exist, and I don't understand that. And so, friend, today, I just want you to understand that this hatred is built into mankind, and that's why the Lord came to die for our sins, for the nature of sin, for the consequences of sin. And those of us who have recognized that's the heart of man, that it's desperately wicked, the Lord says that our hearts are desperately wicked. Who can know it? And if we realize that our hearts are desperately wicked, our hearts can be changed, and we can believe with our hearts, that is, without reservation, that Christ is who he claimed to be and that he died for sins. Please, don't rebel against him and spit in his face today. Don't hate him without a cause. Come to him in simple, trusting faith, and enjoy the salvation that he offers. Now, our Heavenly Father, we do ask you to bless our lesson today and to bless all who have listened. We thank you for salvation through faith in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Now, our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. The website address is bdcministries.com, bdcministries.com, and we do thank you for listening.